The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Luther says this about Paul's letter to the Romans, from where our reading comes today. This epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, and is worthy not only of every Christian should know it word for word by heart, but occupy himself with it every day as a daily bread of the soul. It can never be read or pondered too much, and the more it is dealt with, the more precious it becomes, and the better it tastes. This high praise for Paul's writing is our guiding for our meditation for today as we contemplate what our good Lord is teaching us. During the season of Lent, we are called on to reflect on Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection, along with our part and what has made necessary death sacrifice. In the days of the first church, these 40 days of Lent were used to teach the people in getting them ready for baptism. There were also 40 days can bring to mind what we just read, Jesus wandering in the wilderness and being tempted. And of course, there was 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness because they had forgotten who God was and didn't listen to him. You can find that in Numbers 14 if you'd like to look it up. In both these examples, the word of God is prominent. In Matthew, we read how Satan tries to use God's word to make Jesus sin, and how our Savior defeats Satan's purpose by using the pure word of God. In the book of Numbers, we read how the Israelites would not listen to God's word, and they suffered for it, their choice for not believing and what they had heard, and were forced to wander in a wilderness, a punishment for having a deaf ear and a hard heart. Without God's pure word, we too would easily be defeated by Satan and would wander in a wilderness of doubts and fear. How do we get this wonderful saving word that I'm talking about? The method by which you receive this word is described in Ephesians, where we read, "By faith you have been saved." And in verse 17 of the same epistle, Paul says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In Hebrews, we read the importance of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. No one can believe the gospel apart from the Holy Spirit, as we are told in 1 Corinthians. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. While being brought to faith, one does not see the mystery of God's work in ourselves and assume that what we feel is a normal human response. But the Holy Spirit uses these responses, our speaking of the gospel, as an instrument to bring order out of the chaos of this world and to create faith. How important it is to keep the pure word of God in your midst. For here are some examples of people that did not. In the second century, God's church was flourishing. There were congregations in what is today modern Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, and other countries in North Africa. Out of these congregations came some of the most prominent theologians in history, brilliant men, men such as Tertullian, Bishop of Carthage, or St. Augustine of Hippo, who were bringing the pure word to the churches, and in fact, their ardor still inspires us today. We know that they inspire us. We still read their readings in the seminary they're studied, and so we can see what a great gift that was. In the 7th century, the Muslims invaded North Africa, and by the 11th century, that was the predominant religion there, and it still is today. Now, the disappearance of Christ's churches has been continued over the centuries all over the earth. As we see many struggling congregations throughout the whole world and our land, you may ask why. Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, and to us today, concentrates on this question in today's reading. Many theologians and philosophers have proposed several theories as to why people and churches fall away from the Lord. But Paul wants us to understand how God's word brings faith to the people and how God's word sustains and enlivens them. To this, Paul uses these examples from the Old Testament. The first example is found in Genesis, really chapters 25 through 33, and it's the story of Jacob and Esau. I think you all recall that. God plans to send salvation through Jacob's descendants, the Israelites. And as Paul points out, that plan of salvation also included Esau. However, Esau hardened his heart, defied his parents, sought his own satisfaction with the Canaanites, thus despising God's word and falling away from the promise. They became the very enemy of Israel. And you can remember hearing how Israel was fighting the Canaanites and how they were always trying to defeat them and throw them out. The second example was that of Pharaoh, who refused to listen to God's word given to him by Moses, and thereby incurred great destruction on his land and people. In the last example that I have, Paul tells us of how the Israelites also often rejected God's promises and his word and turned to other gods. In Judges, we read about they come to God, they leave God. They come to God, they leave God. But God always redeems them. He sends the judges to redeem them. They hardened their hearts and turned away from his word. We see in 1 Samuel, Chronicles, Psalms, and Zechariah, by doing this, they became like Pharaoh and brought God's wrath upon themselves. In the New Testament, the rejection of Jesus Christ, the living word, is also found in several events, such as mentioned in John 1. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This rejection is not only a refusal to accept Jesus' words, but is it a rejection of the salvation he offers. Jesus was the rock of offense in the Old Testament, and he is the rejected cornerstone in the New Testament. All these examples show the same basic problem: a lack of faith caused by a closed heart and ear to God's word. Luther says the following in regards to these verses. Paul teaches concerning God's eternal plans, from which it originally comes that one believes or does not believe, is rid of sin or is not rid of sin. Thus, our being righteous is taken entirely out of our hands and put in the hand of God. And that is the most highly necessary. We are so weak and uncertain that if it were in our power, surely not one man would be saved. The devil would surely overpower us all. But since God is certain and his promise cannot fail, nothing can withstand his will. What perhaps is the problem with our inability to hear and accept the word of God properly is our understanding of this world we live in. We are always talking about our progress. We're progressing, we're doing this, we're going forward. But in fact, God has told us these are the last days. He has warned us to be prepared, ready, because this world will soon come to an end. His patience is great, but it is not infinite. There will be an end, and all will be judged. That is why he has given his pure word and to churches and pastors to proclaim it to all. Even though we may fail to faithfully share God's words with our neighbors, God's word will not fail. Yes, people harden their hearts, by looking to worldly things instead of the word and its promise, that they may receive his, and they may receive his judgment. But God responds in his mercy and breaks open many of those hardened hearts to the gospel. We note many of the descendants of Esau, Pharaoh, and the Israelites now worship the true God in churches today, found in these heathen countries, though they're among peoples who worship idols and are condemned for their faith. God's word prevails. Now, if you think the church, the World Church, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, or for that matter, Concordia Bourbon, is struggling, do not focus on the past or the woes that have befallen you. Instead, focus only on God's word. Let the scripture increase your faith. Let everything the congregation does be connected directly to God's word and his promise in Christ Jesus. And you will see that there are those whose hearts have been hardened, God will soften. Luther sums it all up with these words. Thus, in this epistle, we find most richly the things that a Christian ought to know, namely what is law, gospel, sin, punishment, grace, faith, righteousness, Christ, God, good works, love, hope, the cross, and also how we are to conduct ourselves towards everyone, whether righteous or a sinner, strong or weak, friend or foe. All of this is ably found in our scriptures and proved by his own example and that of the prophets. After just a few weeks with you folks, I can truly say that God's word is alive in this congregation, and the zeal for spreading it to its neighbors is great. I urge you to continue to hear God's word, to remember your baptism. It will always give you strength to defeat the evil one when he comes upon you. Come here to confess your sins and receive the true absolution for them. And remember that you can always feed your faith with Christ's body and blood. Always keep your mind and heart on these words. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And continue in the good works that the Holy Spirit has begun in you. God grant this to us all. Amen.